Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thursdays at this time, we like to visit with Don Jackson Blattner. And what do you know? It's Thursday at this time. The author and registered dietitian and nutritionist who makes us feel good about the food we eat. She's America's Don Jackson Blattner is on the line. Hi, Don. Welcome back.
Oh, hello. Thanks for having me. Favorite time of the week. And I love the introduction, America's Don Jackson Blattner. John, thank you.
Somebody else in America had your attention last week, and people were sad. I got text messages. Where's Don?
Oh, yeah. What was I doing last week? Oh, I was doing a bunch of TV segments, over 22 TV segments across the country about heart health and eggs.
What were you saying about heart health and eggs?
Oh, there's a new research study that came out that fortified eggs, so not just any kind of eggs, but fortified eggs. If people were eating 12 or more fortified eggs in their week, there were no negative effects on their cholesterol levels. And actually, people in the study who were 65 and older, they saw positive impacts on their cholesterol levels. So it's, you know, it's one of those things that people get so confused. Actually, I know you wanted to talk about cholesterol, so this is actually an interesting bridge.
What's a fortified egg?
Fortified egg, there are brands that they feed their chickens higher quality foods that have like supplemental, like alfalfa and different kinds of good fats. So the egg actually comes out healthier with more nutrition because their feed is healthier.
Wow.
So it's fortified because the hen's diet is fortified. But this is so interesting because most of the time when it comes to cholesterol level, people really do think that it is cholesterol in food affects their cholesterol levels in their body. And that used to be, I mean, hey, listen, that used to be what everybody said, but that really is not shaking out to be the case, is that for some individuals that may be true for genetic reasons, but for most of us, the cholesterol in food, like in eggs, in shrimp, does not impact our cholesterol levels negatively. In fact, it is saturated fat and sugar that is more harmful to cholesterol levels than cholesterol. So that's kind of new information for a lot of people. And so that's what I was doing, TV segments about that topic.
You know, I saw an article that said the five worst foods for cholesterol, according to experts. I'm going to ask you about that in a minute. But just one more thing about those fortified eggs. You have, for several weeks now, talked to us when eggs come up and say, don't be afraid of eggs. Even the egg yolk is not a bad thing, and it might be good. And an egg a day is not a bad part of your diet. I hope I'm not misquoting you there. But this research that says maybe as many as a dozen fortified eggs over a week is not a terrible thing, especially for people over the age of 65. Sometimes I get the Eggland eggs if I feel like I have a lot of money in my checking account, but sometimes I don't. I don't know that I've ever looked for fortified eggs, Dawn. Is that on my grocery shelf?
Yeah, so Eggland's Best that you just mentioned is an example of one. And so what you'll usually see on a label like that is more omega-3 fats. You know, those are the good fats you typically find in fish, but they're found in these eggs. More things like B12, vitamin D, vitamin E. And so, yeah, Eggland's Best is an example of a fortified egg because they feed their hens this actual, like, supplemental good quality food that gets more of these nutrients in there.
So according to BuzzFeed, the five worst foods for cholesterol, according to experts, and BuzzFeed's the source, they're not the experts. The people saying this seem to know what they're talking about. But the five are full-fat dairy, red meat, skin on meat, like your chicken, highly processed foods, and fryer foods. Fryer foods, highly processed foods, skin on meat, red meat, full-fat dairy. And the only one that jumped out at me on that was red meat because I had a lean steak in front of me just the other day and I was feeling good about it. This says it's one of the worst foods for cholesterol, Don.
Yeah, that, you know what I'm going to say is an old-fashioned list. There is, you know, always with nutrition, people get frustrated, you know, with me, with everybody in nutrition. You say, oh my gosh, make up your minds, people. Are eggs good or eggs bad? Is steak good? Is it bad? Well, the issue is that it's like once you know better, you do better. And so, yeah, preliminary studies were like, yeah, steak is bad. But now there actually have been lots of studies. There was a cool 2022 came out in this journal called Frontiers in Cardiovascular Medicine. They looked at 20 different kinds of research studies and looked at all the people in there and said, hey, listen, when people are eating lean steaks, there's no cholesterol issues with their total cholesterol, with their LDL, which is the lousy LDL, is the bad, lousy cholesterol, or even inflammatory markers. There's no negative impacts with that. So it's likely that why all this confusion always happens with nutrition is because it's all about what type of the food and how much are you eating. We've talked about that before. You know, the poison is in the dose. But, you know, yeah, okay, if you're eating a big fatty steak that is 16 ounces and you're doing that all the time, yeah, that's not good. I mean, you know, hello. But if you're eating, you know, lean beef as part of your diet that is like in a salad with some vegetables on the side, and it's not every single day, that actually is an eating pattern that is very good for cholesterol. So I wouldn't throw all beef or all steak under the bus here. I would definitely say pay attention to picking the leaner cuts. And, you know, like leaner cuts would be things like strip steak, flank steak, top sirloin, top round, eye of round, those leaner cuts of beef. And just make sure you're eating as part of all the different types of healthy foods you're eating in your, you know, weekly routine.
Mm-hmm. You didn't say ribeye steak. A New York strip will sometimes have some marbling in there, but is a leaner cut. Where would you put the New York strip on that continuum?
Yeah, I agree. It's I probably wouldn't put it at the top of the list like those I mentioned, but it's probably in the middle. It's in the middle. It's not one of the worst. And the other thing on that list that is also sort of old-fashioned. So, again, just lumping beef on that list is old-fashioned. And actually lumping high-fat dairy in the mix is old-fashioned. Last year, there were 19 studies reviewed in a journal called Advances in Nutrition. I like that journal. And basically looked at people having all different types of dairy, high-fat dairy, low-fat dairy, no-fat dairy. And no matter what type of dairy, they found no effect on people's lipids. And what the suggested was in the study, the hypothesis was like, hey, maybe we aren't seeing the problem because these high-fat dairy foods also have protein, calcium, magnesium, and potassium, which all have been found to be supportive of heart health. So a lot of times you cannot throw this food under the bus of saying, oh my gosh, all high-fat dairy is bad. What if you really like full-fat yogurt, for example, which in the study, this review paper, the fermented dairy came out really, really good. So that's things like kefir and yogurt actually had better triglyceride levels, better HDL, the healthy cholesterol, better waist circumference when they were eating the fermented dairy high fat. But the thing is it comes along with all of these other good nutrients. So you can't just say, oh, that food is bad. It's like, well, hey, wait a second. You know, there are some good things in there. Maybe having, you know, a huge cheese pizza as your serving of dairy is where we're having problems and not necessarily having that full-fat yogurt with your berries and nuts as a snack. You know what I mean?
Sure. And I want to get to some questions from our listeners. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. You've got a question about your diet or the foods you see at the supermarket. America's Don Jackson Blattner is ready to take your call right now. Now's the time to get in the queue. 312-981-7200. One last thing about this list. It says fried foods, and no one's surprised about that. What do you think about the air fryers? Is that pretty much a safe bet, Don, those air fryers, which I presume don't use oil or grease?
Yes, so fried foods on this list, I totally agree with. That's one of the worst things for cholesterol. And air fryers are one of the best inventions. If you're somebody who loves that sort of crunch and juiciness of fried foods, just get yourself an air fryer because it is absolutely amazing. And, you know, this list, there's one thing I really don't like about this list. They should have, the modern list should have baked goods and sugar on this list. That newest research is suggesting when you have baked goods, especially like high sugary foods, that it alters your blood lipids. It makes your lousy cholesterol lousier and it makes your healthy cholesterol less. And so I would alter this list that they put out and really make sure baked goods and sugary foods were on there.
Hmm. Could you ask Dawn for suggestions on weight gain? Had major surgery, lost a lot of weight. What's the best in protein besides those drinks, says J.W.?
Yeah, well, I got to tell you, the drinks are what dietitians will always say for weight gain because liquid calories that you drink are easier to get higher amounts of than anything you have to chew and deal with and swallow. So anytime somebody has surgery, it's high protein drinks is the first place to start, absolutely, without a doubt. And then secondly, and that's like make yourself a smoothie, you know, and there's all different flavors and ways you can make it so that you don't get sick of it. But then also weight gain is snack a lot. So if somebody wants to lose weight, you tell them not to snack a lot. If somebody wants to gain weight, you tell them to snack a lot, particularly on higher calorie foods like trail mix. So anytime I have somebody who wants to gain weight, I make sure they're drinking a lot of protein shakes, especially before bed. And then I make sure they're eating a lot of trail mix because that's a lot of calories.
Boy, that is a cautionary tale, though, because a lot of the things you said to gain weight, which this person wants to, are the convenient habits that a lot of us have that we need to break, like eating before dinner, stuff like that, or before you go to bed, eating late at night,
yep.
That sort of thing.
Yep, it's literally the opposite, you know, of all the advice people want for weight loss. It's like if you want weight gain, yep, you're doing the opposite.
Dawn Jackson-Blattner, the dietitian and nutritionist at dawnjacksonblattner.com. DJ Blattner on Instagram's on a line, ready to answer your questions. You ready, Dawn?
Yeah, hey, you know, in the break I was also thinking about, you know, you brought up the topic of cholesterol. I think it's so important that people know their numbers of things like, do you know your cholesterol? Do you know your blood pressure? Do you know your blood sugar? Do you know your waist circumference? You know, like I think a lot of times people just don't even know their numbers. So I think what a great topic you brought up is like pay attention to all of these numbers. And when it comes to cholesterol, even though we went over a list of what not to eat, if you really are serious about wanting to get your cholesterol levels better, improved, I call it the three F's, fiber, fish, and fitness. Eat fiber foods like oats and beans and nuts and produce like berries and avocados and broccoli and pears. You know, eat fish at least two or three times a week and canned tuna or salmon. And then make sure you're aiming for 150 minutes of physical activity a week. And these things actually do impact your cholesterol in a very positive way.
What's your judgment on my 6-inch wheat tuna sub sandwich at Subway Sandwich?
Oh, you know what's so tricky is that a lot of times these wheat breads really are not 100% whole wheat. So we know that cholesterol levels don't love refined white flour. So you get, you know, sort of docked for points there. The mayonnaise typically when you're out and about is not using the healthiest fats. Like at your house, you could use mayonnaise that's olive oil based or avocado oil based. Those are better for you oils. But when you get tuna salad out in a restaurant, usually the mayonnaise isn't the highest quality fats you could use. So you're sort of docked there as well. So it's not the healthiest choice when you're out and about. But if you're at home making it using truly 100% bread and truly a better for you mayonnaise, it's a great option. And the only thing I would do to make it better is add a ton of veggies.
What about eggs? So lots of questions about eggs, and just give me short answers to these because I want to get off the egg topic. But people are saying things like this. What about eggs bought directly from farmers? Hey, John, how about farm eggs that I get from the farmer's market? You were talking about fortified eggs being good as much as 12 times a week. Where does the farm eggs sort of check in?
Okay, so this particular research study that looked at 12 or more fortified eggs each week is really just on fortified eggs. So there's no way we can extrapolate that and say, oh, yes, now your farm eggs can be 12 a week too. So there's no way to know that for sure. However, the guideline, no matter what kind of egg you're looking at, is one a day being totally healthy with the yolk. I'm not saying egg whites, one a day, plus however many egg whites you want. And for individuals who eat a more plant-based diet, it's two a day, or people who have trouble getting protein, it's two a day.
Okay.
So technically, you really can still have that 12 mark, even with your farm fresh eggs that you're doing, if you're in that category. Otherwise, it's more likely to be the more one a day recommendation.
Hey, Linda, what can we do for you? You're on with Dawn Jackson-Blattner.
Hi. I have a kind of a crazy question. I'm just finished dealing with a kidney stone. My doctor put me on a very low oxalate diet. I'm supposed to stay between 40 and 50 milligrams a day. So that means no nuts, stay away from whole grains, no chocolate, spinach, so many things.
Yeah.
And so then it means, you know, trying to stay away from too much protein, too much meat. I can have as much as I want, but then you have there's so much conflicting information online, and it's hard to find any kind of true measurement of, okay, one serving of oatmeal is how many milligrams a day of oxalate.
So you are wondering what? What can we do for you?
Just what does she recommend as a nutritional diet to get all of the, you know, the different, getting my grains and nuts and then, and what you have to avoid during that kind of a diet.
Yeah, after you've had one of those stones. Yeah. Dawn, what do you think?
Yeah. So the biggest thing with kidney stones is hydration. So I know everybody gets the list of what to avoid, oxalate. But the real big story is making sure that you are well hydrated. And there is some evidence that lemonade therapy, not just like sugary lemonade, but that actually fresh lemon squeezed in water can actually help not only with hydration, but decreasing the formation of the specific type of kidney stone you have. So I think the first part of that question is really paying attention to hydration and potentially even this lemonade therapy. The other part of this is that all of those healthy foods, if people are truly avoiding them with kidney stones, it gives other health problems. So many times doctors will refer you to a dietitian. So this is not health advice, you know, on the airwaves, but you will be referred to a dietitian who will say, hey, listen, we are going to still have oxalates in your diet because they're in every single good food that is good for you, for every other blood sugar, blood pressure, blood cholesterol, every other organ of your body. We're not going to eliminate these. We may just make sure that during the day that you have them spread out and that you're well hydrated. So anyway, that's typically what a dietitian will do with you is have you still eat these oxalate foods, spread them evenly, and make you very well hydrated.
Good luck to you on that. By the way, Weight Watchers says a filet is the best steak. Does Dawn agree with that?
Oh, you know what? I'm big on the sirloin. Sirloin or strip steak or flank steak. I really love that in terms of the leanness to protein ratios. So, you know, I don't put that at the top of my list, but I will say it's not bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, the sirloin is cheaper than filet. Dean, you're on WGN Radio with Dawn Jackson-Blattner. What can we do for you?
Yeah, I'm going on 65. I've been vegan for 20 years, and my cholesterol doesn't even exist in my family, but I've always had cholesterol for the last 8-9 years when I started getting tested pretty consistently. And nothing, I've tried exercise. They put me on drugs. I quit the drugs. I tried exercise. I move around constantly. And now they got me back on the drugs because my number was like 229.
So you're wondering
yeah,
if
what's
there's
your
any.
Question?
Yeah, you see, do you, are you
well,
just looking?
I'm sorry. So I was just wondering, like, what else can I do to try to help it?
Yeah. You know, hold on. We're running out of time, and I think we got it. So I think there's plenty of people, though, who are doing everything you said, and the numbers are still high. And, Dawn, maybe for those people, they got to go back on the drugs even if they don't want them. What do you think?
Here's the thing. Cholesterol does have a huge genetic component. And for somebody who's eating lots of fiber, has lots of omega-3 fats, and is doing fitness, I will say that, yes, if your doctor says you're doing all these healthy lifestyle things and you still need to be on medication, that's a genetic component, and it's very smart to listen to your doctor's advice.
However frustrating that may be, I like your three Fs for cholesterol. That's what we're talking about, the three Fs for cholesterol. Is that right, Dawn?
That's exactly right. Fiber foods, and that's oats and beans and nuts and seeds and high-fiber produce like avocados, berries, and broccoli. Fish 2 to 3 times a week, the fatty fish. That's sardines, that's salmon, that's tuna, and then fitness is at least 150 minutes a week, and preferably adding 2 days a week to strength training as well.
I'll add floss, because if you're going to eat all those sardines, I'd like you to kind of clean out the whole garage door there as much as you can. Well, Dawn, it's always a pleasure to visit with you. We missed you last week. I know you were spreading good news to the rest of the world. We hope you can join us next Thursday as well.
Would love to. Thanks for having me.
DawnJacksonBlattner.com is her website, DawnJacksonBlattner.com. By the way, 269 said, oh my God, all this talk about eggs. I had to make an egg salad sandwich. I'm on the weight loss journey, and I need to add protein to my diet. Thank you for talking about eggs today, Dawn.